Thank you, Mr. Myers, and good afternoon, everyone. Nice to see all of you here. Well, brethren, last evening, we observed the Passover service in congregations all across the world, here in the United States, and many parts of the world last night. I believe it is significant that we call our gathering for Passover a service, just like we call this a Sabbath service, because it is all about wonderful service, the wonderful service that God the Father and Jesus Christ have rendered to the entirety of humankind. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, and that sacrifice is the greatest and the most important act of service ever given. Of course, it was given on the part of the Father and Son. Laying one's life down in service is what our Savior did for each and every one of us. We ought to follow his example in unselfishly serving God and also one another. It is genuine, unselfish service toward God and one another that defines our calling as disciples of Christ. As we reflect back on the Passover service, let us all consider that the New Testament Passover service is designed to help us see our role as disciples and servants of Jesus Christ. Last night, we commemorated that Passover sacrifice, that death of our Savior Jesus Christ on our behalf. We did it in a special way, as we do each year on the yearly anniversary of that sacrifice. God the Father and Jesus Christ set the example of service in this completely unselfish event. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, one that most of us are quite familiar with, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And certainly we talked about that last night, didn't we, at the Passover service. Both Father and Son sacrificed greatly. The Father directed and willed that his only begotten Son would lay his life down for humankind. The Son showed the greatest love a human being could ever show by sacrificing himself for his friends. Now, the Father, I think, in one sense, showed an even greater love by giving his Son, one who had lived with him throughout eternity, the Word who became Jesus Christ. The closeness that they had, the love that they had for each other, that was an awesome sacrifice on the Father's behalf as well. Certainly, the Father sacrificed his Son for us. It was his Father's will, so it became the Son's will, and so it became reality. It's real. It happened. Of course, the Passover service also serves the needs of true Christians, true followers of Jesus Christ. The Passover service symbolizes what it takes for all of us to be given the gift of eternal life. It takes forgiveness of sin that comes through the acceptance of Christ's shed blood and beaten body on our behalf. Of course, that acceptance includes true repentance of our sins, and then a desire and willingness to put sin out of our lives. So the days of unleavened bread follow, which is a beautiful picture as well, that God wants us to put sin out and keep it out, to put the leaven out and keep it out throughout these days as a reminder, as a symbol for us. And also we know that we should go and sin no more, shouldn't we? Coming from the Passover service, it humbles us, it sobers us, and we do have a desire to sin no more. Unfortunately, we're still human, and thankfully we continue to have the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ applied on our behalf. As Mr. Myers said last night, our sins weren't forgiven last night. That's not what the Passover service is all about, but it's an ongoing repentance that God grants us, the Father grants us, so that our sins will be forgiven on a regular basis. Obedience is, in one sense, the starting point in service to God and Christ. If we're truly going to serve God the Father and Jesus Christ, obedience to God's laws and commandments is a major part of our service to God. That's where it starts. You have to learn to humble yourself and obey God. Do what he says. do his will for us. We serve God by obeying him, and we obey him because we love him. We know that what he's done for us, and we try to reciprocate. He loved us while we were yet sinners. We strive to love him, to dedicate our lives to him. We love his way of life. We see the value in his way of life. But we also know that as disciples of Christ, we shall be known by our love for one another. Isn't that also what the scripture tells us? By our love that we have for each other, we are known as the disciples of Christ. So real, genuine, unselfish service starts with love, and it starts with obedience to God. And from there, we learn to show love to one another by unselfishly learning to serve them and to give our lives for them. Now, in my responsibility as operation manager for ministerial and member services, I've come to realize even more fully than before that there is an absolute need for people who are committed to unselfish, genuine service. There's an absolute need that all of us become that way, that we all become unselfish and genuine in our service to God and to each other. Most importantly, when people are developing the very mind of Christ and then making decisions accordingly, they're also a great joy to work with. Isn't it wonderful when you're working with someone who has the mind of Christ? That's a beautiful thing. It works really well, especially when everyone involved has the mind of Christ. When they're willing to lay their lives down in service to God and each other, they have become like Christ. That's the example that Christ set for us. That is an example that we need to all emulate. It is the mind of Christ in us that brings true unity to the body of Christ, the church of God. So it is a wonderful privilege for me to work closely with ministers and their wives who are certainly committed to following the unselfish example and service of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean they're perfect by any means, nor am I perfect. The same thing, of course, is true of our dedicated members who also strive to be unselfish in their service for one another. Godly love leading to unselfish service and helping others and bringing glory to God is our true calling as Christians. It's certainly a big part of our true calling as Christians. We serve God in Christ by worshiping them, as the hymns we sang about. God is worthy of worship. Christ is worthy of worship. So we serve them by worshiping them, by being here at this service. That's an act of love. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience. This is a commanded assembly. It's an act of devotion. So we show that to God every time we come here on the Sabbath, every time we bow before God on our knees at home in private. That's serving God. That's worshiping him. That's showing him he's so important to us. So what was Christ's example? We know on the Passover evening, he washed the disciples' feet in the New Testament Passover service. That's an outward symbol of our willingness to serve one another. So we washed one another's feet, and now we are to symbolically continue to wash one another's feet and be willing to humble ourselves before each other. We serve God in Christ, again, by showing what they mean to us, by submitting to their will in our lives. We serve them by keeping the commandments, the statutes, and the laws of God. Jesus Christ and the Father are one. They have the same mind, the same laws. One God, one mind, one law. And that's how we need to look at God and Jesus Christ. They are truly unified. They are one, and that's what they want us to become. Jesus washed the dirty feet of his disciples. Christ is our Savior, and he cleans us up. We know that. He willingly shed his blood for us according to his Father's will. In submission to his Father, he sacrificed himself in service. In appreciation for that sacrifice, we should go on to serve one another and to serve unselfishly and faithfully, just as Christ so unselfishly and so faithfully has served us. So we symbolically continue to wash one another's feet. That means a lot to God and to Christ to see that attitude, to see that example, to see that approach. And perhaps Christ's sacrifice, his approach, and his attitude that he wants us to emulate, they're all best summed up in Philippians chapter 2. So I'd like to go there and read. I don't usually read from the NIV, but I'd like to read this from the NIV because it is, I think, very well done here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. See, Christ was very obedient, wasn't he? He did perfectly his Father's will. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Father. So he set that example, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross or a stake. I'd like to read from the article. Actually, it's the article when God became man, so man could become God. It's really an outstanding article. If you haven't read it, I would suggest you do so. It's in the latest Beyond Today magazine. But it also quotes a different translation for Philippians verses 5 through 8, chapter 2, 5 through 8. This is the living translation. It says, let's notice a revealing passage in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, where Paul stressed what Christ did as the ultimate example of humility and giving for us all. And I quote, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges." He gave up his privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So this was the New Living Translation. So this sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ is certainly profound. The Apostle Paul exhorted God's children to be servants just as Christ served, learning to sacrifice oneself in service to God and to others. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul admonishes God's children, his people. He admonishes us today. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This is what we should be doing. This is how we serve, by becoming a living sacrifice to God and to each other. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, brethren, last night the tone was set for this spring holiday season. Tonight we get to gather together to commemorate the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and all of us coming out of sin, coming out of that bondage to sin. Let us all follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we continue to keep these spring holy days. Let us all humble ourselves and rejoice as we serve God and one another in greater unity.